Paul found the Fountain of Youth or something.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at a pretty light Sunday, just the three games there, and then looking at a big 11 game slate across the NBA for Monday as week 20 kicks off. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start where we always do on this show.
Monstrous line of the night.
The monstrous line of the night goes to Paul Millsap of the Denver Nuggets. Millsap has been unbelievable over the last week or so. 32 minutes here in the Nuggets' big blowout victory against the Clippers. 21 points with 16 rebounds. He had 2 triples, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And he shot 62% from the field on 13 attempts and 3 of 6. Pretty disappointing from the free throw line. But otherwise, the numbers from Millsap were great. Since the All-Star break, he is putting up some ridiculously good numbers, and I don't really understand how we've gotten to that. In fact, the two games since he came back, where he had that injury at the start of February, and the two games after the All-Star break, he is the 13th ranked player in that post-All-Star break period, and since he came back from injury, putting up, you know, over the four games, 28 and 13 in 29 minutes, 2.5 steals, 1.5 blocks on 54%. So there are numbers there that are just massively above anything that Millsap's done this season. Almost double his rebound rate, double his steal rate. The scoring is a 50% increase on where he was. Double his three-pointers, a 5 percentage point increase in his field goal percentage. So numbers which are clearly unable to stick there. He was trending definitely in the wrong direction, and he was a guy that, you know, was really not even a 10-team league guy for a stretch. That has clearly reversed course, but this recent top 25, top 30 type surge, fueled by these unsustainable numbers, is just exactly that. It's unsustainable. So maybe if someone wants to believe in the Millsap from 15, 16, 14, 15, where he was a 3 year in a row top 20 player and think, hey, maybe it's back, he's fully healthy, blah, 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 you might be able to get value on Millsap in a trade if your league's trade deadline hasn't passed already. But otherwise, you just deal with these good games and you enjoy these good games with the realization that there are a few numbers in what he's doing. You know, the 2.5 steals a game, the 1.5 blocks, the 13 rebounds, the 54% shooting that just aren't going to be able to stick, and he's going to drop off. But for now, Millsap, he's putting up some really, really good numbers.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night, the deep leaguer of the night.
Young gun of the night.
It's all the same person today because Damo Dotson of the New York Knicks put up a huge performance. Now, the Knicks had a big win against the Spurs. We know that we cannot rely upon David Fizdale for anything, for any sort of consistency whatsoever. And people will say, Josh, Dotson's a young player, Fizdale likes him, he'll want to develop him. Sure, but how many times have we actually said that about Dotson this season? It's been a couple of times. He has started big chunks of games and then moved to the bench. In fact, he started at the beginning of the season 9 games in a row. 3 games later, he was out of the rotation entirely. 3 games later, he was playing 30-plus minutes. And then 5 games later, he was out of the rotation again. The minutes are all over the place. The last 2 games have been massive for him. 20 points against the Wolves, and I better give you today's stat line, 27 points, 8 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal, and took 17 shots as well. 2 games ago, he played 21 minutes, 31 the game before that, 22 the one before that, 19 the one before that, 24, 20, 20, 38. It's literally all over the place in terms of what his playing time will be, and we know that we cannot rely upon Fizdale for pretty much anything in terms of consistency in playing time. We had a young guy they're looking to develop, Luke Kornet, who'd been starting, and today he went out of the rotation so Lance Thomas could play 30 minutes. So again, if you think there's any rhyme or reason or common sense or anything with Fizdale with what he does, even if a player's playing well, which we've seen Dotson do 4, 5, 6 times in stretches this season, and then he goes to the bench, then I've got something that you know, I don't know. I'll sell you some bullshit and maybe you'll buy that as well. But in saying that, it's a nice little run from Dotto here. He's putting up some strong numbers. He's hitting his shots. He's getting his shots. but it could very well and almost definitely will come crashing down for literally no good reason at some point pretty soon. So keep an eye on him. The numbers are good. He's available allegedly in 95% of Yahoo League. So you grab him in every 14-team league and deeper, and maybe you look to stream him in even in the... even in the 12-teamers, there could be some value there for Dotson, especially considering the Knicks play on some low-volume days this week, the Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday combination. Only three games, but all three of those days, you'll definitely be able to use Dotson on those days and get some value out of him. So strong performances from Dotto here, but of course, the trust in anything that Fizdale does in terms of consistency, it just should not be there for you in any capacity. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night. We go back to Denver to look at Paul Millsap's teammate. It is, of course, Farton Wilbarton, who has not been good at all since returning from his injury. 24 minutes here, 3 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. 1 of 6 from the field. Now, I was really down on Dotson heading in... Not Dotson, sorry. Really down on Barton heading into this season. I hated the mix of him in that starting lineup. I thought he works better as a bench guy. I just hated him. I thought he was getting really overdrafted. I'm always down on Barton as a player in general. I think he's significantly overrated. What we're seeing at the moment, though, is definitely well below what he can do. But in saying all of that, I don't like the fit of him in the starting lineup. He's coming off a serious hip injury, which is clearly having an impact on what he's doing. But even at full health, I do not think in a 10-team league that he is a must-roster guy. In fact, I think he's clearly droppable in a 10-team format. And in a 12-team league, depending on where you are, playoffs, fighting for a playoff spot, this is a guy who's the 183rd ranked player this season. He's 218th since he returned from injury. Now, they're not good numbers by anyone's metrics at all. He's not shooting the ball well. The assists aren't there. There's no defensive numbers. He's not hitting threes at a good rate. He's basically regressing pretty significantly, almost back to the guy that he was in his first, the first season he arrived from Denver in that trade from Portland. So real, real struggles here for Barton. And yes, he might get healthy as the season goes on, but you got to share touches with not only the guys we thought he'd have to share touches with, Millsap and Jokic and Murray and Harris, but now Malik Beasley, Isaiah Thomas is back, Monty Morris, other guys who have really, really stepped up their play and performances, where Morris and Beasley, you could easily make the argument that they are better or more important to the Nuggets at this point. And maybe you think I'm being a bit harsh on Barton, and perhaps I am, as he's coming back from this hip injury, but yeah, I've been pretty consistent in my thoughts on Barton for a very long time in terms of me thinking he is overrated, and I didn't like the move of him in the starting lineup. That's played out so far, but of course a lot of that is injury related, and I do think that in quite a few formats you'd have to consider Barton a droppable player. Let's go on to the plus-minus goats. Well, the guy I just talked about had the best net rating of the night. Malik Beasley, a +113.1. He was really, really good again and been one of the finds of the season. And I was going to say he's not a most improved player guy, but he should realistically be in that consideration. It wasn't the greatest stat line for Bees today, but a strong net rating. Well, the worst net rating went to Stormer Norman Powell of the Raptors, who got smacked by the Orlando Magic. Not good at all for Norm Powell, and -93.1 during his time on the court. Never liked to see that. Let's flip on now and have a look at these three games, try and break them down in some detail for fantasy. All three games were blowouts across the league today. The Magic beat the Raptors 113-98. Nikola Vucevic just keeps doing what he does. 23-12, 3 triples and 2 steals with a block. And he should really serve. And there's been plenty of these guys in the past. DeAndre Jordan last year, Brook Lopez the year before that. Definitely getting traded. Nah, he's definitely getting traded. No way. Definite trade, definite shutdown. You hear this all the time, and they just don't get traded. And I probably bought into it a little bit too much with Vuce, thinking, all right, they drafted Mo Bamba. What are they going to do? Are they going to look to move Vucevic? But once he started playing well, and once the team was playing well, I definitely pushed back and said, well, this is not going to happen with him. And they're pushing for this playoff spot, and they are one of the hottest teams in the NBA outside of that loss to the Bulls over the weekend, putting up strong numbers. Terry Ross, 28-9 with 3 triples. He's available in 40% of Yahoo leagues and should not be. He is definitely a 12-team league option. While with Isaiah Briscoe out, Jaron Grant jumped in. He had 7-3-7 in his 20 minutes. It also pushed DJ Augustin's minutes up to 27, and he had 12-5-8. Augustin is not reliable, but he can be a spot streamer. The first game back after the break for John Isaac wasn't great, but at least he bounced back here. 16-6, two blocks in 31 minutes. He should not be on waiver wires. You're all pretty well aware of that. While Aaron Gordon was dreadful. 7-7-6 on 2 of 11 shooting for Gordo, while Fournier wasn't too much better. For the Raptors, the fun guy Kawhi Leonard was out.
I'm a fun guy.
The resting just continues, and it's obviously a really, really frustrating. We thought that this was going to be gone in 2 or 3 months, but or even 2 months, and it's clearly not. So that's a disappointment. We got OG Anunoby, the Jedi.
Hello there.
He's been really good lately. Wasn't so good here, but I really do believe in him long-term as a player. We don't know if Kawhi is going to be in Toronto next season, so OG could be a real option if he does move on. And we finally had that change at center. Marc Gasol moving in ahead of Serge Ibaka.
Oh, hi, Mark.
They basically split the minutes right down the middle. 24 minutes for Gasol, 24 minutes for Ibaka. Mark had 16-5-5, and Ibaka had 14-5. I've said a few times it feels like a matter of time until that switches just to a 26-22 Gasol leading Ibaka type scenario. You both had pretty strong lines here. You're not dropping either. You're holding both. But I think when we revisit this in a week's time, then Serge could really be on the outs in terms of standard league value. Siakam didn't shoot well, but added 2 blocks, and Lowry had 19 points, 10 assists, and 4 steals for a strong performance from him. The next game that we take a look at here, it was, of course, another blowout. The Nuggets beating the Clippers 123-96. Lou Williams, 24 points in 24 minutes, just doing his thing. Same with the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, who had 19 in 25 minutes. But minutes were suppressed right across the board for this Clippers team because of the margin. Landry Shamet made another start. The 3 steals are interesting from him. 29 minutes, 8 points. To me, he's nothing more than a 3-point streamer. And another reason why overvaluing threes in drafting, and why I am generally down on guys like Klay Thompson and CJ McCollum and those sort of players, because you can find so many 3-point streamers on the wire and they come out of nowhere. Well, you've got Reggie Bullock, the Duke Wayne Ellington, Landry Shamet. There's a whole bunch of these players who can come in and hit 2-3 threes a game and be useful in that regard. And that's sort of where Shamet fits to me. Montrezl Harrell, the table, he had foul trouble, 5 fouls in 16 minutes. Ivica Zubats, 5 fouls in 19 minutes, so neither of those guys could really benefit from the other getting into foul trouble. I think Zubats is a real fringe 12-team league guy. He just isn't going to get the 25 minutes a night he would need to solidify himself as a top 100 guy. Beverly had only the 2 points, but helps in the peripherals. Only took 1 shot as well, missed it. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks for him. While Gilgeous Alexander, what a piss-poor line this is. 1 point on 0 of 9 shooting, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. I thought he'd get a significant bump with the trades that did happen for the Clippers. That hasn't been the case. At least he pushed to 30 minutes here. But now they've got to try and reintegrate Baby Neck Wilson Chandler back into things at some point soon. And yeah, with the way that Doc has been treating Shea, it's unlikely that he is going to see a significant boost anytime soon. For the Nuggets, Jokic had 22-16 with 3 steals and a block. And then there's a whole bunch of really smashed in sort of performances with the rotation of guys in that backcourt. This could be a problem for a lot of these players. The Blue Arrow just 24 minutes, but still good, 16-4-6. Isaiah Thomas played 24 minutes and had 10-1-4. Now, his efficiency was not there, 3 of 11. He's a fine sort of an add in a 14-team league format. I wouldn't be rushing to grab him in 12-teamers. He's definitely taking a lot of shots, but it's not really translating into great numbers yet. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
22 minutes for Gary, 14-2-2, looked really good out there. You'd think it's a matter of time before he gets back to 30 minutes, or with the amount of guys that the Nuggets have, they just don't do it. Now, I think that I would rather see Harris and Beasley playing more minutes than Barton, but maybe I am just biased against Barton, and that's a real possibility. But Harris, I still think he's a 12-team league. I'd definitely have him over Barton, not even a hesitation there, in my opinion. Monty Morris was excellent again, 12-1-5, 2 steals and a block. Love to see what he's going to do if he ever gets an opportunity to start, not necessarily on this team, but he is a really strong and interesting dynasty league player. While Torrey Craig, Malone's mate, was out of the rotation, got some junk time minutes at the end, same as Juancho Hernan Gomez. We actually also got a minute of Tyler Lydon, and that's how you know the game is an absolute ass-kicking. Mason Plumlee also hit a three, so that was cool. That was something that did happen. He only played the 15 minutes here, Mace, as the minutes were pretty spread right across the board. The last game of the night, the Knicks smacked the Spurs 130-118. DeRozan was good for San Antonio, 32-9 with 4 assists, a steal and a block, while Aldridge, battling illness and foul trouble, only 21 minutes, 18-3 with 2 blocks. Let's just forget about that one. Derek White was out, so Bryn Forbes, why on earth Popovich continues to start Bryn Forbes as a point guard is baffling to me. He is not a point guard. He is not good in that position. He's not great at his other position either. And it might seem dumb me saying this when he has 15-6-3. I just don't see him as a point guard in the NBA whatsoever. 4 of 12 for Brinny, more of just a deeper league player. Gay had 10-5, while Poeltl had a nice 12-9 in his 20 minutes. But again, the blowout nature of this game meant minutes were pretty spread out. It wasn't a great Pat Mills night. 8 points on 14 shots with 4 assists. We also got 10 minutes of Quincy Pondexter for those of you with Quincy Pondexter on your teams. For the Knicks, another just absolutely baffling lineup decision from David Fizdale. DeAndre Jordan was out, so he didn't start Mitchell Robinson, which was always on the cards. I thought that was, you know, there was no way that he was going to start Robinson because he's got some ridiculous thing in his mind. Yeah, look, Robinson does get into foul trouble. We are all aware of that, but can't start him. You just can't possibly do it because he gets into foul trouble. Then the guy he starts gets into foul trouble. So I don't get it. We started Noah Vonleh, but the confusing one here is, again, Luke Kornet, who had played 31 minutes and then 31 minutes and had 2 starts in a row and 20-plus minutes as starting power forward, a young guy you're looking to develop, literally completely out of the rotation. So from starting to out of the rotation. Now, you could have started him at center, as you did multiple times during the season, but nah, let's forget that, and let's put Lance Thomas in. Now, Thomas, to be fair to him, 16-7 is okay, and they won the game. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have and there's just so much justification that always goes around for these things that the Knicks do. Oh, Josh, they're trying to lose. Cool. All right. They're tanking. Yep, whatever. They're trying to develop their young guys. Well, winning with Lance Thomas playing 30 minutes is counter to both of those. Oh, but they won the game. Well, those things can't all work together. You can't be tanking, you can't be developing the young guys and then looking to win with veterans who have no future on your team. Those three things don't marry together. And this is my criticism of Fizdale. Is nothing he does makes sense. There's no consistent plan. Nothing seems to be thought out. There's miscommunication all over the place. And there's just, again, there's no consistency in anything he does. So that's my issue there. Emmanuel Mudiay played fewer minutes in this game than he did in his return. Still was strong, but of course, 80% Emmanuel Mudiay shooting is not going to stick. 19 points with no other numbers. I'd leave him on the wire. While Dennis Smith was good. 19-6-3 with 2 steals, but that Mudiay specter is annoying. Let's talk Mitchie Robinson, who played 7 first half minutes. What? Yes, he picked up 2 fouls, but cool. And then he picked up 2 fouls in his next 23 minutes. It's almost like, hear me out here, that you can actually play guys through foul trouble a lot of the time, and you don't have to just shit yourself every single time as every coach does. Now, Robinson finished with 15-14 with 5 blocks in 30 minutes. I can't stress enough that he's a must-roster player in every single league. Every league, he's a must-roster player. He will have some nights where he gets foul trouble, and then he will still probably block 3 shots in 15 minutes, as he did the game before this one. I have no issue with him not starting at all. It's the fact that I have very little confidence he actually would have got to 30 minutes had it not been for Vonleh getting into foul trouble and accumulating 4 fouls in 18 minutes. Again, 7 first half minutes would lead credence to my theory. Just baffling shit. 19-10 for the Fort, Kevin Knox. Very little else as per usual, but that's still a nicer performance. While Alonzo Trier, better than Doncic, at least he's playing. 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting. The minutes were up, which is a positive for Trier, but he's just as likely to play 16 minutes next night. And the Trier-Dotson, which bloke is going to play well on a given night roulette, continues to be something that we just cannot predict. So, if I want to summarize this, Robinson is a clear must-roster player across all formats. Dotson's an interesting flyer, more for 14-teamers. Smith's a 12-teamer. And Mudiay, you leave for deeper leagues. Well, Knox is probably still more of a 14-teamer or a points league guy. Shout out to Noah Vonleh, 3-3-3 in 18 minutes. His fall-off has been fairly spectacular after being literally the Knicks' best-ranked fantasy guy for the majority of the season. That will not be the case, I believe, once the season is done. Let's flip it now into DFS mode for those of you watching on the video. For those of you on audio, we're going to do the week 20 preview. Now, those of you on YouTube, you can check that video out separately. All right, guys, let's take a look at week 20 in the NBA, having a look at the preview, helping you guys for weekly lineups, for daily changes lineups. Of course, you can dig into that a lot deeper over on Basketball Monster. Let's have a look at the teams who have the best and worst schedules for this upcoming week. The best team in terms of schedule for the week when looking at guys to lock in for weekly lineups, the Chicago Bulls. They have four games, so that's always a plus. They've got two of those games against the Atlanta Hawks, so that really helps. They might be able to get wins, or even if not, it's a great defensive matchup for them. Plus, the game should remain relatively close. They play the Bucks earlier in the week, which probably has a bit of a blowout written all over it, but the Bulls haven't really been reducing the minutes of their guys all that often. So, decent enough up-tempo game there, and then a game wedged in the middle against the Grizzlies, which of course isn't that good, but some value for some of these Bulls players, someone even like a Robin Lopez, you could potentially grab and even start this week in weekly lineup changes leagues. The team with the worst schedule for this week, the Toronto Raptors, only three games. That's obviously not ideal in that situation. Now, when we're looking at weekly lineup locks, it's not great for the Raptors because they've only got the three games and they're tough. It's the Celtics, it's the Blazers and the Pistons, all teams which are negative fantasy matchups. But on a daily changes league, they do have three games and they're tough matchups. But all three of those games actually come on streamable days, which we'll talk about in a second. So utilizing Raptors guys off the wire, while for a weekly lineup lock, they're in the worst possible situation. For a daily changes scenario, you could add some of these guys. Maybe it's Danny Green, maybe it's Jeremy Lin, and get multiple games out of them. So it just goes to show it's important to know the difference between your league and how things are processed, changes are processed, waivers, all that sort of stuff, to be able to understand the difference, because the Raptors have one of the best three-game schedules for daily changes leagues, but for weekly changes leagues, the quality of the opponents makes it a little bit of a tougher ask. So it does change quite a bit depending on how you're looking at things and what your team or what your league or how your league is structured to be more accurate. The rest of week 20, we've got a breakdown of games, 11 games Monday, so a very busy Monday, 3 games Tuesday, 11 Wednesday as well, so really tightly packed in at the start there, 6 on Thursday, 7 on Friday, 9 on Saturday, and 8 on Sunday. So we're looking to stream Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, with potential ability to stream guys in on Saturday as well. So it's really Monday and Wednesday, the 2 days we're massively trying to avoid in terms of our streamability. And it could also be Saturday as well, depending on all your, on your team schedule or the way your roster shakes out. If we're looking at teams who do have the three quality games this week, the Orlando Magic, the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Knicks and the Raptors all have three games. And in fact, the Knicks and the Raptors, all three of their games they play this week are on those low volume days. So that does help them out in terms of having a value there. There are a few teams that play four games this week who only have one quality game. So on the surface, the Nets having three games is nice, but they only have one quality game. So guys like Alan Crabbe, their value gets diminished. Same with the Lakers, same with the Bucks, same with the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Heat, the Pistons, the Warriors, the Pacers. All of those teams play four games, but only one comes on a potential streaming day. So guys like maybe your Jahlil Okafor, maybe your Cheick Diallo or Frank Jackson in New Orleans, you might have them for four games and go, well, that's great. And they've been playing really well. I'm just using these two names as examples. I probably would have Diallo on my team at this point, but you might get one game out of four potential opportunities when you could be looking at someone on the Magic, whether like that's Terrence Ross who could be available. Maybe you want to go deeper and go DJ Augustin, but you could use those guys three times during the week, as opposed to the one time that you could potentially use some of those other players that I mentioned. So that is important to know. We've got a real paucity of back-to-backs, none on Monday, Tuesday, which is probably fine because we wouldn't be using guys on Monday most likely anyway. Tuesday, Wednesday, there's only one back-to-back. That's the Celtics who play that Tuesday, Wednesday. So what we want to look at here is, do we have any Tuesday, Thursday pseudo back-to-backs? Who can we grab on a Thursday, on a Tuesday, where we get a game out of them then, and then a game out of them on Thursday, which only counts as one waiver acquisition? Well, the Orlando Magic, in keeping with their good schedule, they have the Tuesday, Thursday pseudo back-to-back. The Oklahoma City Thunder have that as well, as do the Knicks. So those three teams have that Tuesday, Thursday pseudo back-to-back. We've got the Thursday, Friday scenario where we would be able to use those guys on a back-to-back, but there are no back-to-backs existing there. The majority of back-to-back games come on Friday, Saturday. Now, Friday's got 8 games, Saturday's got 9. For some of you, you will have active roster spots available to be able to stream guys in on both of those days. Some of you may be able to do it on one, some of you on none. But that is where the majority of back-to-backs concentrated. So you've got teams like the Nets, you've got the Lakers who've got a back-to-back there, the Bucks have a back-to-back, the Pelicans have a back-to-back there as well. The Suns also have that Friday, Saturday. And then the rest of the back-to-backs are on Saturday and Sunday. Another one where, yeah, you can use guys on the Sunday, but on the Saturday, can you get them in with nine games on? Some of you will, some of you won't. You've got the Grizzlies who have got that, the Magic who have got that. We've got the Pistons who have got that end of week back-to-back. The Cavs have got the end of week back-to-back, as do the Thunder as well. So a few teams there, but again, it is really dependent on how your team looks and how your team roster is structured as to whether you're going to get the full use out of those back-to-backs or some of those pseudo back-to-backs. So it is important to pay attention to how your lineup looks and how your active roster sits. For some guys who we should be looking at in terms of guys getting a boost because of their value for this schedule coming up, Cody Zeller's a guy who probably should be rostered in most formats anyway, but he has got a really strong option this week. The four games, he's playing well. His minutes are up. It's a good spot here for Cody Zeller. Marcus Smart as well, with the Celtics playing some interesting opponents, and the four games, that helps him. A few Grizzlies guys to take a look at, Ivan Rabb and DeLon Wright, players who probably, especially Wright, should be 12-team rostered guys, but get an extra boost this week. You got Kent Bazemore in Atlanta, assuming that Kevin Huerter remains out with that ankle injury, but even if he doesn't, they've got four games which can work in his favor. A couple of Pelicans guys, Cheick Diallo and Kenrick Williams. Williams has probably the most consistent and stable minutes on that entire team, while Diallo has put up pretty good numbers in the last two. Today's game, Saturday's game, didn't play a huge amount of minutes, but was still pretty productive. And then you got Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks, who probably should be rostered in all leagues, and Robin Lopez of the Bulls, who I talked about earlier. The Bulls with that best schedule of the week, and Lopez putting in 27 to 30 minutes a night and being really, really productive. So he's a guy that you probably want to add in most situations anyway, but especially for this week when the Bulls have a very, very tasty matchup and the four games, and Lopez is probably going to get an opportunity to post close to top 100 numbers over that time frame. So that does it. A nice little week 20 preview for your fantasy basketball leagues. Daily, weekly, of course, go in depth, check your team out, check it all out on Basketball Monster to make the appropriate decisions for your teams. All right, let's go now into DFS mode. We look at the perfect lineups, of course, on FanDuel. No, it's not on DraftKings. Dennis Smith and DeMar DeRozan, Terry Ross, Kevin Knox, Vucevic, Dotson, Millsap, and Mitchie Robinson. That's a total of $379.75, and that costs the full $50,000. On FanDuel, Lowry, Smith, DeRozan, Dotson, Gaz, Harris, Kevin Knox, Siakam, Millsap, and Mitchie Robinson for a total of $363.5, and that costs $59,100. All right, let's look at these games now. It's a big, big, big 11-game slate right across the NBA today. So lots of interest. We're going to be focusing mainly on FanDuel pricing today. The first game we look at, we've got the Portland Trail Blazers traveling to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Blazers are 9-point favorites. The total is almost a Richie Beno, 222.5. Enes Kanter's been putting up some strong numbers. He's got another big opportunity here in what could be a blowout for some extra minutes. So perhaps some Kanter value could appear in this game. Kevin Love has seen his minutes and production really ramp up of late. At point guard, Lillard's at 10,100. That is way too high for me on FanDuel. Blowout risk. Now, the matchup really does suit Lillard, but that price is way too high. He's averaging just 44 over the last five. And if you had to say, will Lillard play 36 minutes or 32 minutes, you know, which one of those two is more likely? You would have to say, given the potential blowout nature of this game, that the 32 minutes is probably a more likely scenario. The Padawan Colin Sexton had a real turd after coming back from the All-Star break, but he's been around 30 points a night. I don't mind him at 5,500. I don't think any blowout risk is going to significantly limit what he does. So I think that he is worth a flyer, mainly for GPPs rather than cash games, but still someone who is in play here. Jordy Clarkson has really, really dropped off over the last couple. He's at 5,300, but still some upside value. McCollum at 7,000, really tournaments only for him. At small forward, Chetty Osmond's at 48. Has been okay-ish, but with Love back, it is taking a bit of the upside value away from Chetty. Not a bad cash floor guy, but realistically, there's not a massive amount of DFS value on FanDuel across this game. Rocket Rodney Hood against his former team. I believe he had the shits the other day as well, and that caused him to be questionable, as is per usual for Hood, averaging a robust 13 points over his last five, and that's 13 FanDuel points, not real-life points. The Snake, Jake Layman, 4,900. Look, he's been pretty good and he's getting those minutes. I don't mind him as a cash guy. I just think there's very limited upside in Lehman. Kevin Love at 7,100. He has had a pretty good record. I think he drop that 30-point quarter against the Blazers a couple of years back? 7,100. He had almost 50 last game in 26 minutes. I really like Love here. I think there's some value in him. While Larry Nance at 7,000. It's too high with the Larry Drew shenanigans. The Chief Al-Farouq Aminu's at 5,500.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
Could he be good in this one? Well, he had 27 in 27 minutes last game. Realistically, just a tournament guy. Then at center, Ante Zizic is at 4,700. He's playing a lot of minutes with Tristan Thompson out. I think he is a really strong cash option here, Zizic. Nurkic at 8,700. The blowout's the only thing that's really stopping me from getting too invested in him. While Kanter's at 5,200. I actually like Ennis quite a bit at that salary with the potential for some extra minutes coming his way due to this blowout or potential blowout nature. On DraftKings, Zizic probably the pick of the bunch there. Lillard a little bit more appealing at 9,200 and CJ at 6,400 also looks decent. I think Sexton probably worse off on DraftKings, not a terrible play. And the 6,900
giggity
for Kevin Love, I think that is really a pretty strong option as well. Over on the old DK. Next up, we've got the Pacers and the Pistons. The Pistons are 2.5-point favorites in the total, 212.5. The Pacers have won 8 of their last 10 games. They do have Miles Turner and Tyreek Evans both questionable here. Turner's missed the last two with his hip issue, and the cock monster Kylo Quinn has started and played about 20 minutes in those, so that's limiting Domantas Sabonis' upside in that scenario. If Tyreek is out, a few extra minutes go to someone like Aaron Holiday. Darren Collison left last game pretty late into the game, but he looks to be okay. 6,300. I don't mind him, especially as a cash player. While Reggie Jackson had been rolling until last game where he was terrible. But at 5,400, he's okay. But point guard defense of the Pacers is pretty strong. It's pretty tough, so that might be reason enough to fade Reggie. Corey Joseph is an auto fade. The Duke, Wayne Ellington, 4,200, is just a tournament guy. That is it. He is starting, but there's nothing more for me to look at with him. While Wesley Matthews at 4,500, providing some okay real-life production, but he doesn't look to me to be a great fantasy guy. The Duck, Luke Kennard at 5,100, loved what he did last game. My trust with Dwayne Casey is absolutely non-existent. Minimum salary for Tyreek Evans, also questionable, that's not interesting. While Bojan Bogdanovic, he's giving us about 30 a night, which at 6,200 is okay. I just don't really see it as a great scenario. At power forward, Thaddeus Young, 6,200. Pacers have been really good at limiting opposition power forward production, one of the best in the league over the recent stretch of time. He's at 6,200 there, Thad. I think there are better options out there. Blake Griffin at 8,800. Sorry, the Pistons are good at limiting opposition power forwards for Thad. The Pacers are also good at limiting opposition power forwards for Blake. So both guys in suboptimal matchups. Griffin's recent production hasn't been living up to that 8,800 mark anyway. Now his salary's dropped by 500, but it's still somewhat too high for me. So bonus at 6,600. If Turner is out, even though the minutes haven't quite been where we wanted them to be, he's averaging 39 in the last three in 27 minutes. And at 6,600, I'll take that every day of the week. Drummond's at 10,600. I like that salary for Drummo. It's not the best, but I still think there is some value in him, even though centers have struggled earlier in this season against the Pacers, but recently with Turner out, it is coming back a little bit back to normal, while Miles himself at 7,600, probably a little bit dodgy on the hip, so we're not going to be too interested in him. On DraftKings, the Duke at 3,700, significant upside but low floor, while Drummond at 9,000, really, really like Drummo on DraftKings. Collison at 58 and Bogdanovic at 55, also strong cash with some tournament upside there. And Kennard in a stronger position on DraftKings at 4,400. He would be in play to me, although again, that trust with Casey is pretty limited. The Warriors and the Hornets. The Warriors are 7-point favorites. The spread has been coming in a bit for Golden State, but it's also started to ease out a little bit now with the news that Draymond Green is probable after spraining his ankle last game. The total 233.5 here. At point guard, we've got Kemba at 9,200. It's a big drop in his salary, which I'm here for. I still think the matchup and the Warriors have been good against point guards. It's not really working in his favor, and the salary is too high. Tone Parker played 30 minutes last game and had 36 points. I think against the Warriors, he might struggle to get to that. While Steph comes in at 9,600, he's done very well against Charlotte. We know it's his hometown. I like Steph quite a bit here in a positive matchup as well. Clay's at 7,300. Not a bad option. He's been a bit more consistent of late, so I'm okay with Clay there. Iguodala, no. Jeremy Lamb, I don't see how we can trust that. He played 19 minutes last game. Malik Monk, no as well. Miles Bridges should start again at 3,700. Now, last game was a shitful disaster. 8 points in 12 minutes. But prior to that, he played pretty well in that first start. So at that sort of a salary, I think you've got to use him. Batum at 5,300 is a pretty strong cash play as well. His minutes have not gone anywhere. While Durant at 10,000, I'm not sure there's really massive upside with the way he's playing at the moment, but I think his floor is relatively solid as a high-priced guy. And it's not a great day for the pricing of high-priced players on FanDuel in their production. They all seem to be in either suboptimal scenarios or they're just priced too high. Marvin Williams, no thank you. Draymond Green at 65 has done very well against Charlotte in the past, but with a bit of a bum ankle, I'm probably going to leave him alone. Boogs at 8,300. He had 48 points last game, Cousins. 8,300 is a lot. The matchup here is fantastic. Centers have really done well against Charlotte. In fact, Charlotte's becoming like the Knicks or the Nets in terms of the ability for opposition centers to put up numbers against them. So, yeah, Boogie should definitely be considered there. Although, at that salary, I'm really only considering him for tournaments. Well, Cody Zeller's salary has skyrocketed to 6,400. He's been really good, but is he good enough to spend that on? I think the answer you'll find pretty clearly is going to be a no. On DraftKings, it Bridges again, 3,400. Really hard to ignore that. I like Steph at 93, Batum at 47. Looks relatively strong. And Zeller at 5,700 is okay, but again, still probably a little bit too highly priced to get me all the way there. The Spurs and the Nets. The Spurs on a back-to-back taking on the Nets. The battle of the black and whites. The Nets are 2-point favorites, and the total is 231. Both these teams need this win to keep themselves in playoff contention. The Nets sitting in the sixth seed. The Spurs really in a battle to keep themselves in playoff contention, especially after losing to the Knicks. That's a really disappointing loss. They will have Derek White back today, though, San Antonio, after he missed out. Oh, sorry, he'll be back Monday after missing on Sunday's game. Brittany Forbes at 3,900. You know that I'm going to say a no to that. Mills is at 49 with White back. That's a strong fade from me also. While Derek White at 5,600, just too high as the Spurs continue to ease him back from his injury. Caris LeVert at 5,700 just cannot hit shots at this point coming back from his injury. More of a tournament flyer. Same with the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb at 42. Not much interest there. D'Angelo Russell's up to 9,100. And you know what? Fair enough. The guy's averaging 46 over the last five. Shooting guard, point guard type players like Russell, combo guards, have done well against the Spurs pretty much all season. He still feels, you come in and you go, am I actually confident in him getting to that number? I'm not. But I think that he's got that 55, 60 point upside, which makes him a pretty good tournament player. DeRozan, you know, hitting a little bit of form these last two games. He's at 8,400. I'm a bit worried the fact that he played big minutes in this game, and it is a back-to-back, and we know how the Spurs treat that. So that would probably lead me to fade him off. Damari Carroll's at 46, no. Bertans, no. Rudy Gay up at 6,400. And prior to today, he'd been playing pretty well. It wasn't his best performance. I think he's in the mix, but I'd rather go down the 700 and take Smokin' Joe Harris at 5,700, who dropped 33 last game and isn't coming off a back-to-back. Aldridge at 8,000 was poor today. Again, I think there was a resting factor, the illness factor. I think at 8,000 against a Nets team who allows big men to go off, that's a really good spot there for Aldridge. Eddie Davis, no. Rondé, who knows if he's even going to play. Well, Jarrett Allen at the center, 6,200. Really putting up some strong numbers, 33-point average over the last five for Jarrett Allen. It might be a little bit too high there for him, but I'm not a complete write-off on Jarrett Allen's DFS value for this game. On DraftKings, I really like D'Angelo here at 8,400. Smokin' Joe Harris at 46 looks great. LeVert at 54, more of a tournament guy, but I love Jarrett Allen at 5,100. That is a extraordinarily sexy price for Big Jarrett. The next game we take a look at is the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. The Heat are 8.5-point favorites, the total 215.5. This is your Ryan Anderson revenge game, so get ready for that. Injury-wise, the Heat have got a few guys doubtful. Justice Winslow, Jim Johnson, and Scooter Magruder all doubtful, so Goran Dragic might see a little bit of an increased role. There's going to be bigger minutes for Derek Jones Jr. Yes, it's a significant chunk of guys out of that rotation there, especially you know, Winslow and Johnson all are likely to miss. At point guard, Dragic is at 4,200. I just don't think he'll play enough to get that value back. Tyler Johnson against his former team He was massive last game. 50 points in 35 minutes. Finally, the shots went down. I don't really dislike Johnson here. I don't think he's a very good player, but the opportunity has clearly been afforded to him in Phoenix to just do whatever you need to do. Screw the team and their development. Just go and do what you need to do. At 5,600, he is in play. Melton is not. I like Waiters at 5,500 with Winslow out and a great matchup opportunity for Deion. This should be looking at a 30-pointer for him, so I'm really into Deion Waiters here. And Dwayne Wade at 6,000. He is going to have to play a few extra minutes, take on some point guard responsibilities with Winslow out and Dragic limited. So I do like Wado decently here. Devin Booker's at 8,700. Yeah, he's been a little bit muted of late, and it's a tough negative matchup for him, so I'd probably end up fading Devin in this one. At small forward, Derek Jones Jr., minimum salary, should get big minutes. He played 27 minutes last game, had only 16 points, but on the FanDuel scoring, with this bloke's ability to get steals and blocks, that can multiply really quickly. I love him at that salary. Joshy Richardson at 64. Yeah, tournaments, not cash. Well, Oubre at 6,700 has been pretty good of late. Didn't really perform all that well last game. I think there are better options out there. McCall Bridges saw his minutes increase last game too, but I have to feel that that was in large part due to Joshy Jackson's foul trouble. Speaking of Jackson at power forward, 5,200 for Joshy. Really only looking at him for tournaments. Olynyk at 4,600 with Johnson out. Could be an opportunity, but Spoelstra is going to do everything he can to dick him around. And then at centre, you've got Ayton at 7,300, who is a really strong floor cash guy, but the upside just isn't poking through. So I don't mind him in cash, while Whiteside is really the opposite. I have no interest in him in cash. But for tournaments, this is a 60, 70-point upside player who's got a massive, massive positive matchup ahead of him and turned the corner last game and had 46 points in 31 minutes. So this realistically could be a massive Whiteside game. So I'd be really in on him in tournaments. On DraftKings, the similar names, Waiters, Olynyk, Wade, I really like those guys. Richardson, Derek Jones at 34, some real value in a bunch of those players with all the outs there. Ayton at 6,800 also comes in looking pretty good. I'm out on Booker as well at 86 on DraftKings. The Pelicans and the Sixers. The Pelicans are 1-point favorites somehow. The total, 238. Anthony Davis should be back. How many minutes will he play? Who has any idea? Will Drew Holiday go back to 25 minutes after playing 30-plus against the Lakers? And I have to think that the big minutes for him and Randall in that Lakers game was because the Pelicans wanted to tweet out salty shit about the Lakers. I realistically think that's part of the reason. Let's let these guys go out there without Davis, who, you know, the team is not altogether happy with. Let's go out and let's put it on their heads and play big minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys see their playing time reduced. We're going to see Davis likely back here. Etwan Moore also missed last game, and he should return, while Darius Miller's missed the last couple with an ankle issue, so he is questionable. Lord Alfred Payton's getting a shitload of minutes into 5,700. I'm here for it. He had 38 points in 36 minutes last game. I'm here for that. Simmons at 9,000, probably the best value stud on the board with Joel Embiid out. Yeah, realistically, 55, 60 point, not, I guess, easily achievable upside for Simo. Really do like him here. While Frankie Jackson at minimum salary is just a tournament flyer, but he's getting those minutes. TJ McConnell, not really working for me. Jim Butler, General Saunders, 8,600. Hasn't really capitalized on Embiid being out, but has had a good record against the Pelicans in the past. Most of those, or all of those, as not a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. So probably a fade here for me for Jim. Well, Drew Holiday at 9,100. Salary went up because he had 49 points in 33 minutes. I, for one, do not trust those minutes to be up that high again, and I don't trust him to get that value back. Reddick's at 5,400 as a small forward, not really interested. Kenrick Williams at 62. I think that is not a bad cash play. I think he's got no upside, but not bad for cash. And then you've got Miller and Moore and Jim Ennis and John Simmons, and they're all in the big bucket of fade away. Julius Randle, 7,800. I think that is getting a little high with Davis back and the potential for the minutes going down for Randle as well. Not that keen. Well, check Diallo. Big salary bump, $1,700 up to 5,500. Curiously or bafflingly or bullshittery, kept him to just 19 minutes last game. He's still at 36 points. But what is Gentry going to do with Davis back in the mix? That is the confusing one here. I like Diallo, but realistically just for tournaments here. The prison Mike Scott, 3,500, had a lot of center minutes last time. Now, Boban Marjanovic has historically been really, really shitful against Anthony Davis and gets abused quite a bit. In fact, he averages 9 points in 8 minutes the last three times because he can't stay on the court against this team. So that could give more minutes to Prison Mike there. As for Boban at 5,400, I would not want to trust it for cash at all. I think there's some tournament value, but he has been roasted by Davis in the past. While Jahlil Okafor against his former team, he's at 4,800. We're seeing them, they just don't seem keen on giving him the minutes. Now, without Embiid around, it is a good positive matchup, but realistically, I think we have to look at Okafor as a tournament guy and a tournament guy only. On DraftKings, I like Payton, I like Simmons quite a bit. Diallo, again, that same sort of rationale. And 7,100 for General Saunders, I think that's much better than where he sits on FanDuel. Boban also at 55, yeah, that's pretty nasty to me. And Prison Mike at 3,300, I think he's the sneaky option to throw into your tournaments. Who had 25 points in 30 minutes last game, as Boban really, really did struggle there. Of course, Anthony Davis at 8,100, it's appealing. But what are we going to get out of Davis? I find it really hard to use him in any DFS contest from here until the end of the season. Let's have a look on DraftKings. Actually, I think I just talked about DraftKings. Anyway, I completely forget where I'm at. So let's go on to the next game. Apologies if I did screw that up. The Atlanta Hawks and the Houston Rockets. No spread or total at this point because we don't know the status of Jim Harden, who is questionable. You've got Kevin Huerter on the other side, who's questionable also. DeAndre Bembry is probable, and Iman Shumpert is questionable. Of course, last game with Harden out, Kenneth Faried surprisingly started and played a lot of minutes and put up some pretty big numbers. Whether that works against Atlanta or not remains to be seen. I think they will go that direction again, and he would be an option, except that his salary is sky high, $6,600. At point guard, Chris Paul's at 8,400. Really, this is a massive matchup. Great matchup for Paul. He's putting up huge numbers. I love him at 8,400 on FanDuel. Trae Young at 8,200. Yeah, strong, strong cash option with tournament upside, but I would take Paul over him every day. Bazemore at 5,600. We have the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince ruled out for personal issues and the potential then that Huerter misses. So that's going to open things up a lot for Bazemore. I like him quite a bit here. While Huerter, if he does play, he's a GPP guy. That 12-5 for Harden, I feel like, is a little bit too high. Realistically, I think we can only use him in tournaments, especially on FanDuel where there's no late swap if we don't know that he's going to play. And yeah, there's a real chance that they do limit him a little bit if he does return. Of course, if Harden is out, Eric Gordon at 5,600 is that guy that really does step up and becomes a super chalk cash lock player. Shumpert, Jalen Adams, Austin Rivers, no. DeAndre Bembry is at 3,900. He's going to have an extra opportunity with Prince and maybe Huerter out. So that would be a tournament play. He's had a 46-point game this season, but has been really struggling of late. Gerald Green and Vince Carter, they're not really doing much for me. The Wizard, Omari Spellman, probably not. Baptist, John Collins, 7,700. I don't mind the matchup here for Collins, especially if Faried is out there, but his numbers of late have been a little bit disappointing, old Johnny, so probably someone I'd leave alone. PJ Tucker also went off last game without Jim Harden, 48 points in 37 minutes, and at 5,100, if Harden's out again, Tucker is in play. Capella's at 8,000, foul trouble limited him last game. It is a good matchup here for Clint. I think it's not really the best DFS spot. While the Undertaker is at 6,000, he had dropped a casual 52 last game. Dwayne Dedman, I think that he is absolutely worth rostering at that salary. Alex Len is not. On DraftKings, Harden again 11-4 is really, really good for Jimmy if he plays, but we don't know. While Gordon at 4,600, that's massive for Eric Gordon. I like Capella at 7,000 a bit. Bazemore at 54, although that is a salary bump, he looks okay there. And Chris Paul at 83 also has some pretty strong DraftKings value. Next up, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks are 11-point favorites in the total, 228. The Bucks are obviously awesome. The Bulls are playing well, and they were excellent over the weekend with that big win against the Orlando Magic. Otto Porter is questionable, while Gianni Antetokounmpo is doubtful. So that Bucks by 11 thing, I reckon that might come in a bit, especially if Porter is cleared to play. At point guard, Bledsoe's at 6,900.
Giggity!
He had a nice 35-pointer last game. If Giannis is out, a little bit more extra load goes his way. Plus, it's unlikely to be a blowout in that scenario, so that would really open my mind up to using Bledsoe. As for Chris Dunn, he has been atrociously bad. He's down to 5,800. I wouldn't want to get too interested in him, maybe as a tournament guy, because nobody is going to be looking to roster him. Brogdon's at 6,200. I like him as a massively strong cash option, while Middleton at 7,000 with Giannis out as well. Love both of those guys. LaVine also crushing at 8,000. Really strong cash foundation guy, I believe. While Wayne Seldon at 3,600, he would be the guy that I would get on if Otto Porter is out. He gets a real bump in that scenario. Snell, Connaughton, they'll get some extra minutes if Yanni, or with Yanni sitting. I just don't think it's enough to get too excited. Porter at 6,500, I'd be totally in on him if he plays. While Nick Mirotic at 5,600 should have an opportunity for extra minutes. He dropped a casual 35 in 18 minutes, so he should be good to go for some big performances here, old Mirotic. Ersan Ilyasova, he will most likely get the start in place of Yanni, and at 3,800, he could deliver you 25 or 26 points pretty comfortably. I like that a bit. Lauri Markkanen is all the way up to 8,900, and that's pushing pretty high, but the bloke is putting up big numbers, averaging 46 over the last five. I think that's probably a little bit too high, but I'm not counting him out entirely. Brook Lopez against his brother, 5,700, love Brook here. Yeah, pretty interested in Robin at 5,400, considering how consistent he's been, and no reason that both of those guys can't be cash guys. I would give the edge to Brook over his brother Robin. On DraftKings, a bunch of guys I like here. Brogdon, Ilyasova, Lopez, Middleton, Bledsoe, Mirotic, Porter. Value right across the board. LaVine, Markkanen, so much value and all fairly priced in this game. There is a bunch. I think this is a real, it's an interesting one. It's probably more of a GPP one. There is that real risk of that blowout. But again, I think with Giannis out, that it reduces the risk of this being an actual blowout. The Lakers and the Grizzlies. The Lakers are 5-point favorites. The total 221.5. The Lakers need to win this after this disappointing loss to the Pelicans. They find themselves a few games out of the playoffs. They must win this. Absolutely must. The good thing is the Grizzlies are ineptly coached. They are tanking. They're missing Jaren Jackson Jr. And now Mike Conley has popped up on the injury report with a knee issue listed as probable. So his minutes could go all the way down here as well. At point guard, Conley's at 7,600 on FanDuel. It is a positive matchup for Conley. Has been strong, but there is an element of risk in him. I think he's more of a tournament guy. Rondo is a strong, strong fade for me. DeLon Wright is all the way up to 5,300, but I don't actually hate that, especially if Conley is dealing with a knee problem. I like DeLon. Avery Bradley at 43, he's dropped right back off. Reggie Bullock is always just a dart throw. Caldwell Pope, Holiday, not interested. At small forward, Brandon Ingram, 6,500. I actually like that for Ingram. I think that's a good cash and tournament upside play. Chandler Parsons, no thanks. While the LeBron James, $12,000.
LeBron James.
He's putting together a really nice stretch. Probably one of the better high-priced guys on the board with less uncertainty surrounding him than some of the others. Bruno Caboclo's at 36. Yeah, that's a no from me. Ivan Rabbit, 46. Will he get the nod to start again at power forward with Triple J out? I would have to think so. Didn't do that well last time, but I would hope that would go back to him. He's in play for me. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma at 6,900.
Giggity!
I think it's a good matchup for him. I think that he realistically, though, is more of a tournament guy than anything. And then at center, love Valanciunas. Now, at 7,600, that does take a lot of his value away on FanDuel, but still, I think that he should be pushing past 30 minutes. Noah's at 5,000, and he's smashing that value pretty much every night. No reason not to consider Noah an option here as well. McGee is a pretty hard pass for my tastes. On DraftKings, Valanciunas is almost the best player on the board, 6,400. Same as DeLon Wright at 38. That is just a shit ton of value. Even Avery Bradley at 39 is in play for me. Noah at 46, I like. Ingram at 61, I like. LeBron at 11.2, I also like. Over on DraftKings. Next game, we take a look at the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. No spread or total at this point. Karl-Anthony Towns has missed the last couple with concussion. He's been upgraded to probable for this game. So yes, he will likely play. Gorgui Dieng also absent from the injury report. Corey Brewer, Timberwolves legend Corey Brewer, he's doubtful with an eye issue that caused him to miss last game. Jeff Teague, who looked to have some sort of an injury last game, hasn't come out on an injury report. He's at 6,700. I think he's an interesting GPP option. De'Aaron Foxy Fox, 7,800. Love him for cash with some tournament value there as well. Well, Derek Rose at 5,500. Not really liking the tournament value there for Rose. I think at this point he's more of just a cash guy, but a relatively solid cash guy. We also got some good minutes from Tyus Jones last time out with Teague, limited 37 points, but will he get those 28 minutes? Probably not. Andrew Wiggins, 7,100. Not against it. He is putting up much better DFS numbers than in the past, while Bogdan Bogdanovic, 5,800, more of a tournament guy. Budryk Hield crushing. He's at 7,000, 49 last game for Budryk. Pretty good matchup for Hield here also. Still probably look at him more as a tournament guy than a cash player. Burks and Okogie, they're strong fades, as is the pencil, Harrison Barnes. The power forwards, Harry Giles, no. Taj Gibson, 45, love it for cash if Towns was out, but Towns is likely back, so that's going to limit Taj's value. Same with Šarić at 5,000, I'm not really feeling that. But Marvin Bagley, we have to look at him because he dropped 50 last game. He's at 7,400, and that is a big price jump of 1,300, and that probably takes me a little bit away from Bags, but he's been playing really well, so he's a name to watch. Cauley Stein at 6,200, too high in my mind, while Townsy at 10,800, I love this matchup for Towns. Probably still more tournament as we're just not sure how he's going to return with the effects of that concussion. On DraftKings, similar stuff. Teague and Towns, interesting tournament guys. Wigo at 63 looks really good. Bogdanovic at 5,000 also I think is a pretty strong option. Same with Fox and Hield at 72 and 6,600 respectively. The last game for Monday, we have got the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers. The Clippers on a back-to-back, no spread or total at this point. Luka Doncic has missed the last couple of games and he's questionable, as is Maxi Kleber with an illness that caused him to miss last game. Patty Beverley's at 5,500, not that keen there. Landry Shamet at 42, similarly. Jalen Brunson, the burner, at 38. If Doncic is out, I think he's a pretty interesting cash option, while Gilgeous Alexander at 46 is not interesting. Trey Burke also, if Doncic is out at 3,700, comes into play for both DFS formats. For the shooting guards, Williams at 7,800 and Doncic at 9,500. I think both of those guys are too highly priced, while Timmy Hardaway, if Doncic is out, I like him at 5,500. Small forward, Finney Smith, no. Gallinari, 7,100. Struggled a little bit in today's blowout, but this one shouldn't be a blowout, so I think Gallinari can sneak back in as an option. At power forward, Kleber, that's a no from me, while Montrez, the table, Harrell, at 7,300, has really been a bit under where he needs to be, so I'm not super keen on him. Nowitzki, Jermichael, they're not really going to like either of those blokes. Zubats at 4,700, that's too high. Dwight Powell at 5,400, just about right. Centers against the Clippers have crushed. He's coming off a 26-pointer himself. I like him quite a bit here. Salah Mejri, I don't like him quite a bit at all. On DraftKings, yeah, Powell at 4,000 is really strong. That's a real strong value to me. Beverly at 46, probably a little bit more favorable. Williams at 7,000 as well. And Doncic at 88 if he happens to play a relatively strong option there as well. Let's go through some studs and values. On DraftKings, I like Simmons as my stud and my value play. We're going with Valanciunas. On FanDuel, my stud again is Simmons and my value play is Derek Jones Jr. On Yahoo, my stud is Ben Simmons and my value play is Dwight Powell at minimum salary. And on DraftStars, my stud is Lillard, despite the blowout risk, and my value is Miles Bridges. That'll wrap it up for another episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Make sure when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play your favorite Locked On podcast. So after you finish listening to this, tell your car, tell them to play the podcast Locked On Lakers. Tell them to play Locked On Cavs. I don't know why you're super into the Cavs, but maybe you are. Whatever it is, get your smart device in the car while you're sitting in traffic to play your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and the network at @LockedOnNBAnet. The same on Instagram as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Dr. Michael Malone.